Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Instead of looking in other directions, let's look up and let's look away from the chaos on Earth to something a little bit more peaceful, a little more cosmic. Because if you've looked up at the sky lately, it somehow does feel a little clearer and brighter. So winter skies in South Africa, certainly in Gauteng, are some of the best in the world. From visible planets to constellations, it's actually quite incredible. To help us make sense of what we are seeing and what we are missing, maybe we're joined by Professor David Block. Professor, very, very good morning. Awesome to have you with us. I hope you're well.
Yes, I'm looking up indeed. And it is such a wonderful time of year to connect on these chilly winter evenings.
Absolutely. And especially in Gauteng, I mean, maybe the next few days we might have cloud cover, but generally the skies are clear, which is just such a fantastic opportunity for us. So if we step outside and we look up tonight and hopefully it's clear, what should we be looking for?
Well, first of all, if you cast your eye towards the western swath of the horizon, you'll see two very, very bright planets. They're gloriously visible. The one is the Venus, the evening star, as it's called. And the other is the planet Jupiter. I don't know if you've seen them looking. They are very visible.
Very.
After sunset towards the west. But as far as gazing upward is concerned, we are treated to a veritable feast. First of all, you have the glorious Southern Cross, beautifully high up in our winter domains at the present epoch. I was looking at the Southern Cross about two nights ago, and it's just absolutely stunning. Of course, the Milky Way is just glorious too, because the center of our Milky Way galaxy, the galaxy in which we live, the center of the Milky Way, the Via Lactea, lies in the constellation of Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is also extremely well placed at the current epoch, as well as Scorpio, with that bright red star deep in its sort of tummy, if you like, called Antares. So we have a veritable feast, not only of the planets in the early evening sky, but to me, the glory of the Southern Cross and the jewel box. You know, I would encourage all your listeners to go out. Last night was, of course, cloudy in Gauteng, but to go out and just, you know, just through a set of binoculars, drink in. I think this is what we need to do, given the chaos on Earth.
Absolutely.
Is we need to drink in the beauty of the theater of the night skies. I think, you know, we are so focused on matters down below terra firma that we miss out on the beauties of the celestial dome, as you've so beautifully pointed out. And then in the morning sky, we also have a treat of Mars and Saturn. You have to get up early for that. The evening skies are just glorious. Again, to summarize, Venus, Jupiter, the Southern Cross, the Milky Way, Sagittarius. I mean, if it's like a gourmet dinner with a creme brulee served on top of it all.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Why is it that winter skies somehow seem clearer to us?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, everything has settled in the winter. There's not a lot of dust storms here in our area. It's nice and cold. The skies are very pristine. And we get this also, you know, when I travel to the world's great observatories, like in Chile, the winter skies are beautiful, but our winter skies are especially beautiful from an astronomical point of view, because especially if you're away from city lights, because the Milky Way is orientated so that it is best studied during our winter months. And as I say, the air is stable, the air is cold. You get that crispness, which you don't get on the hot summer months, also with some shimmers and atmospheric turbulence. Everything is a lot more stable at this time of year. But the southern skies are the absolute best locale in the world to come to, because the center of our galaxy, as I've said, actually lies right above our heads. And that to me is just so wonderful. You know, what a therapy. What a, you know,
it people so go is. To... Mm.
To spas for therapy, but here you've got a show for free. Absolutely. Which you cannot miss.
You know, one of my most beautiful memories is I was in Namibia and we were driving at night from Swakopmund to Walvis, I think it was.
Yes.
And I suddenly, while we were driving, I like glanced at the sky and we stopped the car, switched off the car lights because obviously there, and we looked up, and I don't think I have ever seen anything so absolutely magnificent in the skies there.
Isn't it stunning? I mean, I know the road you're speaking about so well between Swakop and Walvis, and from Namibia, of course, in that area, you're so far away from city lights.
Mm.
And when you look up, it's like a veritable carpet of jewels. I mean, it's like, it's almost, you know, the stars, isn't it true, almost like their light is veritably raining down upon your retina. It is quite exceptional, the experience you're describing. That's what I am accustomed to at the world's great observatories. Is, you know, you go out of the observatory dome and you look up and you just say, wow. And I think it's a lost art, you know, because we're so focused on our computer screens and our mobile phones that we forget to look up.
Absolutely. It is so, so true. Barry says, I remember being in the Pilansberg and also just looking up and seeing the beautiful skies. It
yes.
really is just, is there a best time at night to view the evening skies?
I mean, that's a lovely question. And I would say for your listeners, just going out, say, an hour after sunset, going out. I mean, I've been out at about 7:30 p.m., 8 p.m. It's glorious because you've got, as I say, you've got the Milky Way, you've got Sagittarius, you've got Jupiter, you've got Venus. It's a glorious time. Of course, the answer to your question depends is what you're looking for.
Mm.
I mean, if you're wanting to study Saturn with its rings, then you have to get up at 3 a.m. and look at Saturn. But because, of course, the sky completely orientates itself every 23 hours and 56 minutes and 4 seconds, you know, which is the period of the Earth's rotation. What's very interesting, and I love your laughter, because when I was in matric, you know, I was taught that the Earth spins on its axis every 24 hours. And, of course, that's shockingly wrong. It's out by 4 minutes.
Four minutes.
And being on radio, you would know.
Four minutes is a lot. Exactly. Well, a combination of being on radio and having German grandparents, I'm quite horrified at that.
There you go. So, I mean, we were taught diligently. You know, I'll never forget it, Krugersdorp. We were taught diligently, you know, the Earth takes, and then there was a dotted line, so many hours to rotate once on its axis. And if you didn't put in 24, you got it wrong. What's very funny is that I was taken to the principal's office for correcting the math teacher, and I was threatened with 6 of the best. But you know, the Earth does not rotate on its axis every 24 hours, and I can still stand up today with a very clear tush without getting 6 of the best. And, you know, I was right. Isn't that the tragedy?
It is.
And my tush was almost battered with 6 of the best.
Well, I'm glad. I suppose you and Galileo, I guess, got into trouble just for talking about the universe in an accurate way.
Yes, well, of course, they Galileo's tush was okay. It was his head that was more at stake,
right?
Literally and figuratively. But yeah, you know, when you correct a math teacher or a geography teacher in Krugersdorp, you know, which had a very healthy Jewish population.
Yes, yes.
You know, your tush was in great danger. And I look back as a prof now and I say, well, the Earth takes 23 hours and 56 minutes and 4 seconds to complete a turn. And I'm not in standing in dire straits
exactly.
of a possible hiding. And you remember those army days, 6 of the best.
Absolutely. How do we get our kids more involved and more interested? Something you mentioned before, we spend so much time looking at screens and so much time focused on all sorts of things. How do we get our kids to look up?
Yes, I think that's a very, very beautiful question. And to my mind, one of the best routes is to take your children to the totally revamped, the Anglo-American WITS dome, the old planetarium.
Wow. Right.
Which was, of course, founded by the late Professor Arthur Blexley. Mm. And I was there. In fact, I was honored. The Vice Chancellor, Professor Zeblon Vilakazi, invited me to deliver the opening
wow.
lecture at the Anglo-American Dome.
Incidentally, we spoke to the professor earlier this morning. So it's definitely in fact, he was our first interview. So this, and you're our last interview of the morning. So it's full circle here.
Oh, wow.
So that is quite funny.
Oh, wow. Mm. And I would say take your children there. It's extremely state of the art. You know, when I was at WITS for 40 years, the planetarium had the old Zeiss projector. Mm. Now everything's laser. It's extremely realistic. Your children will love journeying into the centers of black holes, the glories of the night sky. And what's very beautiful is that you can simulate the night sky in the daylight hours. Which is very important. So you don't have to wait until the sun sets. You can actually just go there, you know, say in the morning, and they can actually point out all these constellations I've been talking to you about, you know, just on the dome. It's an incredibly beautiful experience. It's an enriching experience. It's an immersive experience. You really feel immersed. And for one of the only times in one's life, you are asked to switch off your mobile phone, which I find glorious. Absolutely. Because you can't have the mobile phone lights light up on the dome.
Oh, of course, yes.
It's really an experience extremely worthwhile to undertake. It is run by an extremely efficient set of academics, very well versed in the night sky. In delivering the opening lecture for Professor Vilakazi, I was deeply touched by the director, by her assistants, Constant Falkschenk, who I've worked with for donkey's years now. And their staff is just so amazing. And children today love something different.
Yeah,
right?
I was thinking
children
that.
Children today love something. They want to be immersed in something, just like they get immersed in computer games. Mm. Why not immerse your children in God's glorious night skies, you know? And it's for free. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the entry fee is not for free at the planetarium. Mm. But, I mean, once you know where everything is, you look up from your gardens or wherever you stop your car, and it's free. I mean, it's a show we keep on missing. 99.9% of our listeners perhaps might be missing the show glued to their computer screens and other techs, whereas you've got this glorious show for free. You know, many years ago when I met Mr. Mandela, who named our twin boys, he actually said to me, Prof, you work in a different theater. And I said to him, Mr. Mandela, what do you mean? Because we generally, you know, speak of a theater as in the medical sense. Mm. And he said, Professor, your theater is the night sky. That's the theater of your operation.
Absolutely.
And I thought,
incredible.
That is just so beautiful. Mm. It's a theater where I can live, move, have my being, and have fun at the same time. I mean, what more? And it's all free. Just as you started this interview, looking up in wonder.
Professor David Block, I have to say, every time you come on, you make us look a little bit differently at the world around us, and I really thank you for that help, for helping us reconnect with very, very different aspects, but somehow aspects of our universe that connect to our soul. I really appreciate your time this morning. I'd love your thoughts, your reaction this morning. Has that conversation changed the way you're going to be looking up and at the sky? I also think that the planetarium is such a brilliant, brilliant idea.